I think excellent presentation so far, and I'm sure we're not going to be disappointed by our next speaker, Dr. Marty Dodu, who is a health economist, and he's with the Robert Graham Center for Policy Studies in Family Medicine and Primary Care, associated with the American Academy of Family Physicians. So, Dr. Dodu, we welcome you to the dais.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Guess I'll start with the disclosures. I have none to disclose. The rationale for this study, behavioral change services, if they are to be offered routinely in primary care practices, we know that providers have to be appropriately compensated for. Currently, there's practically very minimal reimbursement, if any. In order for us to be able to actually provide these services, we need to obtain credible estimates of what it actually costs for the practices to provide the services. It's just critical to establish an appropriate payment, and that's the reason why we did this study. The objective was to estimate in-practice startup expenses and incremental expenses of providing behavioral change services for four leading health risk behaviors: unhealthy diet, lack of physical activity, tobacco use, and risky use of alcohol. All the interventions were required to provide services to address all four risk behaviors. So I should say each intervention was required to do that. The behavioral change was tested nationwide through what I call practice-based research networks, which are groups of primary care practices all over the country that bunch together in network to provide research in their practices. There were 10 interventions that were funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it involved about 100 practices. The expenditure estimates, which I'm going to report on today, were done for all 10 interventions, but only in 29 practices. Okay, the outline. I'll start with a study design and sort of tell you a little bit about how we designed the expenditure study, and talk a little bit about the data collection methods, and then a little bit about the practices and interventions, just to give you a feel of the context. I will talk about the analysis methods and then present the results, the discussion, and the conclusion. Our study design methods, we took the perspective of a primary care provider. So we only collected in-practice expenses. We did not collect expenses by the patients. We didn't collect expenses that occurred outside of practice. We also adopted a before and after study design. In other words, our incremental expenses are expenses incurred in the steady state phase of the intervention minus the expenses incurred at baseline. To collect the data, we collected primary data of all the in-practice expenses. We actually designed a standardized protocol to do that, and a comprehensive guidebook, and a standardized spreadsheet instrument that we then sent out to each of the practices for them to complete. In many cases, we dealt with business managers in the practices, but the business managers then went to the actual care providers and got information. Package of protocol, guidebook, and spreadsheet instrument were pilot tested twice in two different practices, two different sets of practices before use. About the practices, there was a lot of variation, or there's a lot of variation in the staff and patients that were part of this study. They reflected basically the variation in practices that are part of these practice-based research networks. in terms of geographic distribution, they were all over the country. There were some rural, some urban, some suburban. There were some from the northeast, northwest, south, and western regions of the country. In terms of their personnel composition, there were some that were that had family physicians or GPs in them. There were some that had pediatricians and internists, PAs, RNs, MAs, medical assistants, etc. There was a whole wide range of staff who were involved in these practices. The patient populations were also varied. There were some that were predominantly white, there were others that were minority. There were children, adolescents, adults, insured and uninsured, high income and low income. They were practically all over the place. We selected the practices we selected because we wanted to get a representative distribution. The interventions themselves, the main components of the intervention, some of the interventions used IT, used computers to make things more efficient. Others used new or modified staff roles. In other words, nurses had their roles modified, or physicians had their roles modified. Some used population screening and outreach. Actually, a large chunk of them used population screening and outreach, which means when the patient population came in, they were screened using a set health risk assessment tool. A number of them also had counseling done outside the practice. The rest of them had the counseling done within the practice. All expense estimates were expressed in $2,006. The expenditures in capital and durable assets, we use straight-line depreciation methods for those. And these are our results. We got data for the startup phase of the interventions. In other words, how much does it take to actually set up in order to do these interventions? So this is prior to actually implementing the intervention. And the expenses varied quite a bit, even as you can see from that, looking at the standard error. But we have also broken it down by expenses that were for staff, and then those that were for non-staff, and that's for capital asset expenses, just to give you a feel. The variation, again, we think reflected the fact that the interventions themselves were different, and staff and organization, the way staff were organized within the practices, were also different. And these are the results for the actual expenses of the implementation. These are per patient per month. The previous startup estimates were for the whole startup period, and that's the reason why I have provided the startup duration numbers. The average was 4 months. And these are for the implementation per patient per month. The mean number of patients passing through per month was 302, with a standard error of 88. So again, quite a bit of variation. Studies suggest that, and I have not provided the breakdown of the results by IT services and so on. But if anybody is interested in the detailed results, I have a handout out here. They can come after the session and they can get a copy of that. Secondly, there is the copy of the paper is going to be published next month, next week actually. In the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, they're doing a supplement, and it's going to be published in that. There is a reference for that also in the handout if you want the detail. But it for those that needed to train staff, it cost about more than $700 to train staff. For those that had services with new modified staff roles, they ended up spending more money on staff, as you would expect, to train the staff. And the ones that had services with screening and outreach usually involved having somebody other than a receptionist or someone low level to be trained to do the screening. So it costs a little more money. On average, the actual implementation per month, per patient per month, was $58 for an IT-based intervention, $74 for the ones with modified staff roles, and only $14 with the screening once it's been set up. In discussing this, and the variation we observed is, again, due to the differences in practice staff in an organization. We also think these are underestimates because they do not include development. For example, we intentionally kept out development costs out of this. We also did not consider the costs or the expenditures on consultancy and assistance from outside the practice. The practice-based research networks actually are set up to provide assistance in research to these practices. So some of that was provided, but we considered that part of the research component, so we did not collect money, the expenditures on that. Limitations, we think there are quite a few limitations, including the fact that there are differences in how staff time is estimated, because we didn't have one person go out and do the estimate. We actually had the practices themselves do self-estimates. So we believe that there might be some inconsistency in the way that staff times were estimated, especially physician time. In conclusion, primary care practices must definitely spend money in order to address their patients' or healthy behaviors. We found out it does cost some money. There's currently practically no reimbursement for it. We noticed that, or which this study suggests, that almost $2,000 is needed to initiate these approaches, and about $58 per patient per month to actually implement them routinely. Okay, my contact information, acknowledgements. The study was supported by RWJ and ARC. And this is the reference for the publication. Okay.
Questions of Marty? I have a question. These are the costs to set up and implement. I can only imagine all the barriers that might occur besides being reimbursed, but other organizational and attitudinal and kinds of things to do this. Hopefully this will be implemented and then we'll get some outcomes. Yeah. And are you going to follow outcomes of a behavior change over time and then what it costs to get those? Or?
Yes. This report is only part of the report on the whole project. The Prescription for Health project, which is what this is part of, a series of articles that are also going to be published on the results starting from next month. And so I would sort of leave that to anyone who's interested could, by following this reference to this publication, they'll be able to get at the effectiveness part of it also. The thing about all the barriers you talked about also is that we are cognizant of the fact that this was implemented by PBRNs, the practice-based research networks. They practically hold the hands of the practices as they do these things. So there is a need to maybe have a series of studies that would not involve this hand-holding and to see what the effect of that is going to be and would it cost them more. I expect that, if any at all, it will be in the startup costs, not in the ongoing costs.
Other questions? Yeah.